you may be seated, and I invite you to open your Bibles this morning to a very familiar scripture as we've been teaching along the lines of the spirit of faith. And in 2 Corinthians 4:13, it defines to us what the spirit of faith is. It says, "We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak what we believe." Amen. I think of David as a man of God who had the spirit of faith. And there was about 400 men that were gathered to David under his leadership. And I want you to know what these 400 men were like before they caught the spirit of faith. You see, the spirit of faith can be taught, but it's even better when it's caught. But now notice with me in 2 Samuel, I believe it is, or 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 2. "And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, they gathered themselves unto David, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men." Wow. These folks were in rough shape, just like some of us were before we got hold of the Word of God. But over the process of time, sitting under his leadership and being mentored by David and seeing the spirit of faith on him, they caught it. Amen. And these guys had an attitude of faith, backed up by actions of faith. One of which was a man by the name of Shammah. Now the Philistines were Israel's ancient enemies. And the Philistines spotted Shammah's lentil patch, or we could say in modern terminology, they spotted his bean patch. And they were going to come and they were going to rip his lentils off. In 1 Samuel 23 and verse 11, this is Shammah. Amen. Almost sounds like you're praying in tongues. "And after him was Shammah, the son of Agee, the Harite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines." So these folks were running, and they were afraid. But Shammah did not run. Notice with the next verse. "But he stood in the middle of the ground and defended it, and he slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory." Shammah, because he had the spirit of faith, he stood in the midst of that bean patch and he defended his field of beans. His attitude was, "I'm not letting the enemy have any of my beans." How many of you know, if you let the enemy get your beans, he's going to come after your tacos too. He's going to come after your enchiladas. He's going to come after your whole Mexican dinner. So he must be stopped in his tracks at the bean patch. And those with the spirit of faith have an attitude, and they also have an action. And I believe that there are many, many people here this morning that have the spirit of faith. In James chapter 1 and verse 22, it says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." You know, it's one thing to hear the word, but it's quite another to do the word that you have heard. In verse 23 it says, "For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." You see, God's word reflects to us through the mirror of his word what we have and who we are in Christ Jesus. In verse 24 it says, "For he beholds himself and goeth his way, and immediately forgets what manner of man that he was. Now that word forgetteth there is literally the word neglect. It wasn't that he just completely forgot, but he neglected the word. Now notice with me, in the next verse, it says in verse 25 in the ESV, but the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and perseveres. You see, when you are persevering and you're serious about being a doer of God's word, you're not neglecting the word. You're not forgetting what manner of man that you are. You're not forgetting that you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. You're not forgetting that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are not forgetting that you're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. You're not letting go of these precious truths, but you are continuing therein. You are persevering therein so that the enemy cannot rob you of the revelation of who you are and what you have in Christ Jesus. The ESV again says in verse 25, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. The blessing is yours for receiving. But in order for us to receive the full blessing in our lives, we must be doers of the Word of God. Can you say amen? Amen. My spiritual father, Dad Hagen, said this. He said, begin to practice being a doer of the Word by doing in all circumstances what the Word of God tells you to do. Now, in the Jewish Bible, the contemporary Jewish Bible, and we don't have that translation, but in James 2:17, let me just quote it to you. It says, thus faith by itself, unaccompanied by actions, is dead. Another way we could say it is this. Faith without corresponding actions does not produce results. Amen. Faith must have corresponding actions. Amen. Faith is acting on the Word of God. Smith Wigglesworth said this, faith is an act. Faith is an act. Many of you have heard of Lillian B. Yeomans, a wonderful, mighty woman of God that was used many, many years ago. And I love this quote. She said this, God delights in his children stepping out over the aching void with nothing under their feet but the Word of God. And the moment, my brothers and sisters, you act, God makes himself responsible for the results. Woo, glory to God. And we're looking for results, are we not? Amen. See, doers of the Word of God are blessed in their doing. Doers of the Word of God are not going to go down. They're not going to go under when the storms of life come. When the floods come against our soul. When the floods come against your finances, when the storm comes against your family, when you hear the sayings of Jesus and you do the sayings of Jesus, your house will not fall. Your life will not fail. You will be unmovable, unshaken when the storms of life try to take you out. You'll be able to make it through to the other side because under your feet is the solid rock of revelation. You're standing on the promises of God and you will not be moved. Woo! Glory to God. So that's good news, isn't it? Storms come. Is that right? But oh, I see you're still here. You're still standing. COVID came, but oh, glory to God, we're still breathing. Amen. We got air in our lungs. Amen? Oh, shout it with me. I'm a doer of the Word of God. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Now, one of the greatest characteristics or actions of our faith is is speaking God's word. Faith is motion activated. Faith moves God, and faith moves mountains. However, faith will not move anything until it moves you. And the first part of your faith that moves must be your mouth. For speaking God's word is an action of your faith. As a matter of fact, speaking the word of God is the initial and continual act of faith. Now, we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? But faith does not operate in and of itself just by hearing. Faith isn't released by hearing. Faith is released by speaking. You are a speaking spirit, created in the image and likeness of God. You have been made by Him specifically to believe the word and speak the word of life. Amen. So faith isn't just released by hearing, it's released by speaking. Amen. So the question we should ask ourselves is, why should we be acting on the word of God? Well, primarily, I believe the main reason we act on God's word is because it really pleases Him. It pleases Him when we take Him at His word. You see, faith backed with actions, it pleases your Heavenly Father. Now, we notice in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it should be on the screen there. And I just want to read the first part of that verse. Notice with me, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. In other words, without faith, we are unable to please Him. We could say it this way: without faith, backed by our actions, we cannot please our Heavenly Father. And I believe that each and every one of you, in your heart of hearts, you want to please God. So in order then to please God, we need to understand that it's going to take actions of faith to please our Heavenly Father. Did you know that it pleases your Heavenly Father when you forgive, when you don't feel like forgiving? Anybody had a situation in their life that came up where in the natural realm you just wanted not to forgive? You did not want to release that person? You did not want to drop it? But there's other things that you wanted to do. But because the love of Christ constrains you, you didn't do the other thing. You did the right thing. And the right thing is to understand this, that our faith will work by love. In other words, faith will not work in an unforgiving heart. If we want mountains to move, if we want prayers to be answered, we need to forgive others, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Amen. And you know what? We can do it. And it pleases God also when you act on 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Anybody had an opportunity in their life to take the cares of this life? You know, the Bible says that the cares of this life does what? It enters in and it chokes the word. And as a result, the word of God becomes unfruitful. But here's what pleases God. 1 Peter 5, 7. Casting some of your cares. No, it doesn't say that. It says casting all of your cares. Where? On Him. Why? Because He cares for you. In other words, He cares for us so much that He does not want us to be weighed down by the cares of this life. And so He told us, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now listen very carefully. When you and I cast all of our cares on Him, His peace is released in our soul. Amen? And that's where the battle is. Some of you have that battle going on right now. Because of circumstances, maybe because of bad reports or financial lack. There are these battles that come to our soul. And we are not designed as human beings to take those pressures of life. And that's why he said, give them to me, son. Give them to me, daughter. Because you cannot do anything about them, but in my great care and in my great provision, I've got you. Amen. Isn't it good to know that he's got you? Amen. So notice this now. When we cast our cares on him, his peace is released. But then, if we want to keep his peace and for it to affect our soul ongoing, we've got to stay in peace. Amen. And one of the ways that you and I can stay in peace is what Isaiah 26:3 says.
Yeah. Amen.
He said, I will keep him in what kind of peace? I will keep you in perfect peace. That's my part. If you will keep your mind on me. In other words, if you will focus on me, and if you will focus on my love for you and my care for you and my word for you, not only will my peace saturate your soul, but it'll keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, lovely, good report, if there be any virtue, be any praise, think on these things.
Amen.
So then how would a person give action to 1 Peter 5:7. Number one, they'd roll their care on the Lord.
Amen.
Number two, they'd walk around all day saying, thank God I'm carefree.
Yeah.
I don't have a care.
Yeah.
Pastor Tom may come up to me during the week and say, well, Pastor Mark, how are you doing? My answer might be, thank God I'm carefree.
Yeah.
I don't have a care. Amen.
Yeah.
And another thing that you can say to keep your mind on him is this: it is well with my soul.
Yeah.
Glory to God. It is well with my mind. It is well with my emotions. Say it with me real strong. It is well. It is well with my soul. So it pleases God when you forgive. It pleases God when you cast your cares on the Lord. I'll tell you what else pleases God. It pleases God when you act like the blood of Jesus has made you righteous. It pleases God when you do not walk around all rejected and all bummed out. It pleases God when you set your shoulders back and know who you are in Christ, that the blood of Jesus has set you free. Hallelujah. And that you are clean, that you are holy, you are unblameable in, whoo, glory to God, in his sight, and your future is bright.
Amen.
Say with me, I am
a God pleaser.
Brenda taught about the tithe. It pleases God when you tithe.
Amen.
How many of you would agree with me today that his word is powerful?
Yeah,
last time we were together, we talked about how the word of God is alive and filled with power. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. We know Hebrews 1 says this, that he upholds all things by the word of his power. Isn't that good? If he's upholding the sun, the stars, and the universe, he certainly can uphold you and I.
Amen.
He can certainly take care of our PG&E bill.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, have you seen any PG&E bills lately? Yes and amen. But I have a stronger yes and amen to say, and it's Philippians 4:19, that he meets all of our needs. Amen? I don't know how we got off on that, but it's a good side journey. Glory to God. He's upholding all things by the word of his power.
Amen.
Wow. I had this glimpse of myself as a 24-year-old when I had just gone to Rhema, and I was waiting for Rhema to start in 1976. This is before I met my lovely wife, Brenda, Raylene Edwards. Good southern name. But I had this picture of myself this morning as I was going through Charles Capp's little book on God's creative power. I don't know if you've got that, but that book will really, really help you if you apply it. And I say on a regular basis some of those scriptures, like, I'm part of the body of Christ, Satan has no power over me, for greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I will fear no evil, fear with me, Lord, your word and your spirit comfort me. I'm far from oppression and fear does not come nigh me, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper, for my righteousness is of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And so I've been saying those scriptures for years and years, and here I am almost 74 years old. I'll be 74 on November 5th. Now, mark that one down. No. I'll be 74 years old on November 5th. But that's 50 years ago. I'm 24 years old. I did not have an automobile, but I had a job. Now, the job that I had was about 10 miles from the mobile home that I was staying in. Some little ladies let me stay in there till I could find my own place. And they took real good care of me, you know. They fed me and everything. And so it was time for me to go to work. I had to be to work at 7 a.m. So at 6 a.m. I got on the road. I started walking toward work, walking down the freeway. But while I was walking, I wasn't wasting time. I was confessing what God's word said about me. I'm walking down that road. I'm part of the body of Christ. Satan has no power over me. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the Lord. I will do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. Woo! Glory to God. And I got a glimpse of that this morning as I was confessing the word of God. And all I can say is, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Your word is forever settled in heaven. And I will establish your word in my heart and in the earth. I will hear your word. I will do your word. I will speak your word. And I will have what the word says I have. And I will do what the word says I can do. Glory to God. God, I'm telling you what, God is faithful. I mean, he upheld me for all of these years. And it's not because of my education or my lack of education. It's not because I happen to be a handsome guy. Uh-uh. His word will work for whoever who will receive it and believe it and speak it and act on it. So give actions to his word, which is filled with power. Here's what Luke 1:37 says in the ASV. It says this: for no word from God shall be void of power. And so when you and I act on his word, his power is released. What kind of power are you talking about this morning, Pastor Mark? I'm talking about resurrection power. I'm talking about the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's the kind of power that he's made available to you and I.
Amen.
And Paul, right into the church at Ephesus, said in chapter 1 and verse 19, notice this verse. It says, and what is the exceeding? One translation says, what is the immeasurable, the unlimited greatness of his power, which is what? To usward who believe. Now, that's old English words there, to usward. What it literally means, it's directed toward you.
Yeah,
it's yours. This greatness of his power is directed to those who believe. Oh, say it with me, I believe.
I believe.
And, of course, it's according to the working of his mighty power, which is resurrection power. So this resurrection power is directed to you for your benefit. And when we release faith in his resurrection power, what's going to happen? It will work on our behalf. And it's not just enough to meet your needs. It's not just enough to take care of your family. It's not just enough, glory to God, to see to it that our nation is headed in the right direction. It's not just enough. It's more than enough. I said it's not just enough. It's more than enough. He's El Shaddai. He is the God that is more than enough for you. How many of you have experienced today, truthfully and honestly, his more than enough resurrection power in your life? Can you shout a minute over it? Can you just look back and see what the Lord has done? Woo, glory to God. We sing that song, look what the Lord has done. What has He done? He healed my body. What else has He done? He what? Woo, glory to God. He healed your body. What else? He touched your mind. Amen. Look what He's done. Now understand this. Looking back at what He's done and being thankful for what He's done and not forgetting what He's done positions you for Him to do even greater things in your life today.
Amen.
We serve a great God. And He's doing great things in you. Amen. Put your hand over your heart and say, the greater one is on the inside of me. And the greater one is doing great things in me, doing great things for me, and He is doing great things through me. Woo, glory to God. The greater one. Thank God for the greater one. And thank God for greater things. Amen? How many of you are believing God for some greater things? Amen? Are we thankful for what we've seen? Are we thankful for what we have? But somehow on the inside of us, we know that there's mucho, mucho más. Amen? Mucho, mucho más. Much, much more. Come on, everybody, shout more three times. More, more, more. Woo, glory to God. Being thankful is the door for more. Glory to God. And so His Word is filled with power. His resurrection power is more than enough for anything that you will ever face in your life. So once again, when we act on His Word, His power is released and activated. That word activate simply means it sets it in motion. Now, I want to look at two examples of this in closing this morning. So turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. And notice with me in verse 25, beginning here, with the woman with the issue of blood. In Mark the 5th chapter, it says here, beginning in verse 25, let me get over there. Verse 25, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years. And she suffered many things of many physicians, and she spent all that she had, but she was nothing better, but she got worse. When she heard of Jesus, she must have heard some awesome things about the Master. She must have heard some testimonies of what the Master had been doing in the area of healing. When she heard of Jesus, notice with me, she came in the press. Now, the press means there that there was plenty of people following Jesus. There were plenty of people following Jesus because they were curious about Him, right? They heard that He was the great miracle worker. And so they were pressing upon Him. But the Bible says that she didn't stop. She came in the press behind. And she touched His garment. There was something about His garment that she knew if she could just touch it, she'd be healed. She came. Amen? For she said, verse 28, if I may but touch His clothes, what will happen?
I shall be whole.
If I can only touch His clothes, I shall be whole. One translation says she kept saying it.
Yeah.
Think about it.
That's good.
She wasn't even supposed to be in public.
Yeah. Right, that's right.
But she said, if I can just get through this press, when I touch His clothes, I'm going to be made whole. What was she doing? She was giving action to what she believed.
Yeah.
She didn't stay at home waiting for Jesus to come to her. She went to where Jesus was. Amen?
Amen?
For she said, if I may touch His clothes, I shall be whole. Now notice in verse 29, And straightway, or immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that what?
She was healed.
She felt in her body that she was healed of that blood. Don't you know it's a wonderful thing to feel in your body after 12 years that you're healed?
Yes.
She felt in her body that she was healed. Woo, glory to God. Amen. Verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press. How many of you know that Jesus knows when somebody activates his power?
Amen.
We don't literally have the hem of his garment in this house today, but we've got his power everywhere present. And he takes notice and he knows when people touch him with the touch of faith and activate his healing power. Amen.
Yes,
glory to God. Verse 30, again, immediately knowing himself that virtue or healing power had gone out of him, he turned him about in the press and he said, "Who touched my clothes?" Luke says, "Somebody touched my clothes." You know, with him, there's no such a thing as a nobody. In him, everyone is a somebody. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, "I'm a somebody." Look at your other neighbor and say, "I am a somebody." And you're a somebody. And speak to that empty chair next to you and call it full. Glory to God. Woo, who touched my clothes? And, of course, his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and how do you say, who touched me?" And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. Everyone said, done this thing. This was her action. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that was what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. She had a testifying meeting right there. Glory to God. Now notice what Jesus said. Verse 34. Read it with me. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say, "My faith made you whole." He said, "Your faith has made you whole. Now go in peace." Or go in shalom and be whole of thy plague. Woo, glory to God. Now, faith has not been done away with. If her faith will make her whole, your faith will make you whole.
Amen.
Say it with me. If her faith,
would make her whole,
my faith, backed up by actions, will release resurrection power. And it will make me whole. Raise your hands and say, "Thank God." Woo, hallelujah. Say with me,
I have
world overcoming faith residing on the inside of me. Glory to God. How many of you have experienced a touch from the Master? Look at the hands. Look at the hands all over this auditorium. You've experienced the touch of the Master.
Amen.
Don't forget what he's done.
Forget
none of his benefits.
Amen.
Don't forget what he did for you during COVID.
Amen.
Don't forget what he's done for you 10 years ago and 20 years ago. Hey, don't forget what he did for you yesterday. I mean, don't forget what he did for you at the mall. I mean, every time Brenda goes to the mall, she has a revival.
I have a testimony.
And her golden statement is this: "I've saved you a lot of money." Well, if she believes it, I rejoice in it. How many of you men are good with saving some money? Well, I don't know whether she saved me money or not, but glory to God, she's got some new clothes. Oh, amen. Rejoice in what he did for you yesterday. Glory to God. You got a parking place. Thank God for those little things.
Amen.
Woo, glory to God. I love this statement. If her faith made her whole, my faith will make me whole. Why is that? Because faith in God is no respecter of persons. What He has done and what He has provided for one belongs to every one of us. And I think we need to watch ourselves and make sure that we don't allow ourselves to become discouraged because we haven't quite arrived yet with our faith. You know, it's wonderful to hear testimonies and great and wonderful things that are happening in and through the body of Christ, and we should rejoice in that. Amen? But don't let it be a discouragement to you. Let it inspire you. Amen? Amen. Well, did you hear about so-and-so? They believe God and they got this. Yeah, but what about me? No, not what about you. What about Him?
Yeah.
What about Him? What is He able to do in your life? Amen? Ooh, glory to God. Thank God for good testimonies. We had a wonderful testimony this past week down in Branson, Missouri. It was wonderful. I was at Brother Moore's Week of Increase for a couple nights. It was just awesome. And you know, met Brother Jerry Savelle, went on to be with the Lord a couple months ago. You remember that?
Yes.
Great man of God. And Carolyn and the Savelle family are carrying on. And just maybe a year or so before Jerry went on to be with the Lord, he got a manifestation of a Falcon 50 jet that he'd been believing God for 20 years.
Hallelujah.
And he was able to fly that jet, you know, all over the world. And then he went on to be with the Lord. And so here's this jet. And Carolyn said, well, we don't really need the jet. I think we'll sell the jet. And Brother Moore was talking to Carolyn, and he said, well, you know, this jet might be worth more as a seed than it would a sale. Think about that for a moment. I'm not saying, you know, you need to sell your car or anything like that, or sow your car. But in the spirit, he got that. They decided that jet would be more worth more than a seed than a sale. And then they both understood that Nancy Dufresne was believing God for something of the same line, a Falcon 50. So what they did is the Savelles, sowed that jet to Nancy Dufresne's ministry. Completely debt-free. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. That's good. That inspires me. Amen. Because I see me debt free. I see me debt free. I see us debt free here. And then the thing that Brother Moore got in his heart, this is just awesome. He set a goal for so much for the Week of Increase. And he said the first $3 million are going to go to the Savelle Ministries. He says, I want seed in that. Because the jet was worth about $3 million, something like that. Glory to God. So Thursday night, the $3 million came in. And we have seed in that. It's like a twice-sown seed. We sowed seed to the Savelles, but we also sowed seed to the Dufresnes. Woo, glory to God. And I'm expecting a huge blessing to come. Amen. How many of you are in agreement with us? And then Brother Moore got this by the Holy Ghost. Thank God for Brother Keith Moore. He's a wonderful man of God. He has helped us so much throughout the years here in this ministry. I'm telling you, when we were really in great need, his ministry sowed $200,000 to our church. Thank God for that. I mean, this is a guy who puts his money where his mouth is. Amen. But here's the neat miracle about it. I'm telling you all these things so we can get inspired. Amen. We're not dealing with jets and those things yet, but you're dealing with automobiles. You're dealing with your bills. Say it with me, I see me.
I see me.
Debt-free. Now, those of you who've been around for a while, you know Brother Savelle wrote a book, If Satan Can't Steal Your Joy. Come on, somebody. This is important. If he can't steal your joy, Raul, he can't keep your goods.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
And then the same scripture says he will have to restore unto you sevenfold. Brother Moore looked it up. You see, Brother Ed Dufresne was killed in an airplane crash a decade ago in Wichita. But Nancy's carrying the ministry on. And God's using her wonderfully. But Brother Moore looked it up. It was a restoration of aviation to the Dufresne Ministries. Come on, everyone say restoration. A restoration. Because she's going nonstop. And you can't go nonstop like she goes on regular jets. You've got to have your own. But here's the revelation he got. He found out the expense and the cost of the jet that went down. And he said the new jet that was sewn to them through the Sabels was 7 times what that other jet cost. Glory to God. Amen. 7 times. And so, folks, we serve a God of restoration. We serve a God of encouragement. We serve a God of provision. Amen. Say to me, what he's done for others, he's doing for me. Now, if you have a problem with that testimony, you need to go home and repent. If you have a problem with that kind of talk, you need to repent. Amen. Because you do not want your blessing to be blocked because of a religious spirit. No, you want the blessing of God flowing in your life. And so what we need to do is we need to rejoice with those who rejoice. So let's rejoice with Nancy Dufresne. Let's rejoice with the Sabell Ministries. Amen. And let's rejoice that this house here is paid in full in the name of Jesus. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. So we got seed in the ground. And I'm telling you what, the angels are working. And they're bringing the money in. I don't know who, but I know how. The God who's more than enough. Close real quick. Luke chapter 5, Luke chapter 5, Luke chapter 5. Amen. Are y'all here still? Yes. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. So do you see this woman with issue of blood activated the power of God? Let's see something else in closing, I think. Luke chapter 5. And it came to pass that as people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And saw 2 ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. In other words, they were done for the day. But Jesus entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered him and said to him, Master, we've toiled all the night and we've taken nothing. But aren't you glad he caught himself? He said, nevertheless. Woo, glory to God. Nevertheless, even so, at thy word, I will let down the net. I said, at thy word, I will let down the net. Oh, glory to God. He acted on the word. And when they had this done, when they had acted upon that, a provisional, powerful miracle took place. They enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, and they began to sink. Woohoo! Folks, this is a ship sinking, net breaking blessing from heaven. And it happened because he didn't let himself be talked out of letting down the net. He said, even so. And many of you are even that even so right now. Even though and even so, you may be walking through the valley of the shadow of death. You've got his word, and he will uphold you by the word of his power. How many of you are ready for a ship sinking, net breaking, breakthrough blessing in your life? Let's stand up, everybody. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Woo, I'm happy in the house today. Thank you, Lord. My faith activates His healing power and activates His provisional power. I glorify you with it in Jesus' name. Place a hand over your heart and say, I'm not just a hearer of the word, but I am a doer. I'm a doer. I am a doer of the word of God. I'll not be self-deceived, but I will walk in the goodness of God. I'll walk in the blessing of God, and I will be blessed in my doing. Amen. Oh, raise a hand toward heaven and just thank Him today. Glory to God. Glory to God.